Yo, welcome to Beast Podcast. And if you don't know, Beast stands for bringing empowerment and skills together. And that's exactly what we strive to do on this show. We talk life skills, we talk financial literacy, we talk personal development. All these things are going to help you be a better you. So stay tuned and enjoy the show. Yo. Welcome back to the podcast. On today's show, we got a special guest, Jalon Bransford, ball handling specialist, entrepreneur, community service angel. And my guy got a lot of projects going on in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But today he hopped on a podcast to talk about NFTs and what the craze is about NFTs and just about getting on the curve as far as, this whole digital wave, this new wave of currency, man. It's very important for us to understand it so we can maneuver, in the future. Let's not just turn a blind eye to certain, phenomenons that are going on, right? Let's learn about why it's such a big thing, how it can affect us in the long term so we can be ahead of the curve and make moves accordingly. But all right, y'all, enjoy.
Yo,
brother.
Hey, okay. Live. Long time no speak, my brother.
Yeah, man. It's what, probably been a few months, I'd say.
Yeah, man. Well, shoot, I appreciate you taking the time today to hop on the podcast. So go ahead and introduce yourself for the listeners and three things you're grateful for.
What's good, everybody? My name is Jalon Bransford. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is where I'm from. Ball handling specialist, consultant, business magnet, all the above. What's good?
And
three things I'm grateful for. Okay. Well, my son's 7th birthday was just yesterday. So grateful for my son, my family, my wife. I'll definitely say my health for sure. It's been pretty crazy out here in terms of the pandemic and everything. I actually had, contracted COVID probably 2 or 3 months ago. So I had my battle with that. And I'll say randomly the light, sunlight, man. It's beautiful out here today. The sun is shining and, it's essential to be able to get that vitamin D, if you will, so get that sunlight, man.
That's a fact. What did God say? Let there be light. And he said, sure. It is good.
For sure.
Amen. But nah, man, I wanted to have you on the podcast because I remember last time up when I was in Harrisburg, we were talking about the whole NFT business and what that looks like. And then you actually just dropped an NFT course. So I wanted to kind of break it down to as minute pieces as possible, as bite-sized pieces as possible for the listeners. But like, what is an NFT? Like, what is it and why is it relevant for us?
The standard definition of an NFT is a non-fungible token. And I look at it as really a very interesting way in terms of how digital and physical and the building and unification of people that have a common interest, how that is going to be distributed. I think that is going to be everything within the next 5 years and maybe even sooner, especially, President Biden has just plan, it's public, it's factual, you guys can Google that and whatnot, but regulation of crypto is coming. So yeah, so that is why I firmly believe in NFTs wholeheartedly, especially once you just see how, from an artist perspective, you literally have the ability to curate your entire experience with your audience without interference from a third party that you don't own any equity or ownership in.
So So let's break that down. You said, so an NFT is a non-fungible token, and you're saying that this type of currency is going to change the way that humans interact and communicate and transfer money and basically do life in a sense. But what is that fungible? Like what's the difference between like an NFT and like Bitcoin, or like NFT and, like, I'm just throwing out some terms that people may have heard, like Ethereum, like an NFT and like cryptocurrency, like kind of break down like some of these big, like trendy words that people use surrounding, because I feel like that's a part of a lot of the ignorance around it. It's just the language being used, and people aren't familiar with the language. So then it kind of confuses them, like a doctor using some doctor lingo, and then they got to simplify it to, you know, the family that's in the room so they can kind of understand. So if you can kind of simplify the whole like NFT crypto, like what is it? Like, yeah, try to like walk us through that.
Yeah. So to clarify, when people say things like Bitcoin and Ethereum and Solana and Cardano and different altcoins, they are referring to cryptocurrency. All right. They're referring, that is literally a new asset class in terms of being able to how you exactly exchange, you know, the value of money from one currency to the other. That's literally cryptocurrency now.
So it's like changing like dollars to cents,
basically.
Like yep, pennies, like to nickels to quarters to
exactly. Okay. It's a new asset class. So there's the US dollar, and then there's cryptocurrency, and there's so many different ones. Gotcha. But that's cryptocurrency, you know. But an NFT is a non-fungible token. Think of non-fungible as something that is one of one. It's scarce, it's unique, something of distinct value, and there are no two that are exactly alike. As opposed to something that's fungible, that's, you know, that could be something that's interchangeable with another unit of that same asset. So let's say, for example, the Mona Lisa, right? You can take a picture of the Mona Lisa. You can look up, Google the Mona Lisa right now, and you can right click and save that in your phone, right? And be able to share that as you see fit. But if you literally own the Mona Lisa, all right, if you physically own that painting, and you digitize that, you take a photo of it and you upload it onto the blockchain, all right? And blockchain is literally just a ledger. Think of that as something where you have the ability to see every single transaction in real time. It's basically authenticity of ownership, right? So by minting and putting something like the Mona Lisa on the blockchain, as opposed to you taking a picture of it on the internet and saving it in your phone, there's a difference. One, you have the ability to profit off of; the other, you don't, because you don't own it. So that is the biggest thing that I take away from it in terms of just the basics from a collectible standpoint. You know, just think about how niche collections and different items are, from the things that, like, think about
like baseball cards, or like,
think about why we like what we like. There's like a community. There's a community of people that like Pokemon. There's a community of people that love basketball, that love point guards, that are statisticians, that love United States history, that love world cultures, et cetera, sneakers. Like, there's a niche community for every single person on this planet, and multiple. And as a result, to be able to unify those individuals and create something that is unique and of value from a digital standpoint, and being able to do something in the physical as well, I think that's extremely unique. And that's something that hasn't really existed before.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think, I guess another question for you would be, if, when I'm playing devil's advocate to somebody who's like, you know, maybe they're like on the fence as far as like getting into like NFTs and stuff and that whole like crypto blockchain. Somebody might ask, okay, if everything's on a blockchain, like who's cross-referencing these transactions to make sure that
you know, the value that I place on my digital artwork is valued correctly. Like, who's to say, you know, who determines the value of my digital asset? And then who makes sure that I actually get paid for it? Like, how does that whole process work?
Very, very interesting and awesome question. So let's break it down from the standpoint of centralizing and decentralized platforms. So centralized, if you think about it, is what a bank is right now. You know, you have a debit card, an account, you have a savings account, et cetera, whatever you may have, an IRA, whatever your preference is in terms of your strategy for being able to do transactions using US currency, whatever financial institution that is. And you really have absolutely no say in terms of the different options that you have with cryptocurrency, in my personal opinion. For example, centralized financing, to me, you can't create a DAO, which is a decentralized autonomous organization. So think of that as a collective of individuals that basically all have equal say in terms of the forward direction of a project or of a business or of a company, etc. So it's fair, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to if you can't do that with centralized financing, you know, in terms of being able, unless like absolutely you have the ability to do, what is the specific term, group economics, you know, pulling together your funds, your resources with some individuals. But being able to do this and use cryptocurrency and how you can structure the deals and basically be able to incentivize different holders and different individuals that invest into your project and are a part of your team. I mean, there's some truly incredible things that you can do, especially from an ownership and from a creativity standpoint that you're just not able to do with traditional financing through the banks. And the beauty of it is it's decentralized. So blockchain, man, like literally, bro, like, you have the ability to see everything in real time. So that is like, it's very, it's not able to be altered. You cannot alter the blockchain. You cannot, it's not duplicated. You know what I'm saying? You can't fake it. Like, I can literally right now, if there is a specific piece of art that a celebrity posts about or somebody that's famous, an athlete, a musician, whatever the case may be, I can look up that unique identifier of that digital asset and look it up on the blockchain and see like, okay, this is where they either paid for it or they didn't. They got it sent for free. This is who sent it to them. And this is the date and time. Like, that's the beauty of the blockchain, being able to, once again, confirm the ownership of a digital asset and who you're sending it to as well. It's very unique.
Okay, so... So another question, devil's advocate. I'm still learning about the NFT world. So is NFT a vehicle where I should, you know, kind of transition all of my physical money to, or is it something where I just use it as kind of like a diversification? What's your advice on that? Like somebody who we can even bump this into like a financial literacy standpoint. You know, let's say somebody, they got some money, they got some extra bread that they want to, you know, put it somewhere so they can, you know, reap the benefits later. Is that a vehicle that you're referring people to use as the cryptocurrency, or like at what stage would you recommend, like what percentage would you recommend as far as like diversifying into NFTs? If you can kind of pick one of those 17 questions that I just asked and
break it down. Sure. So I'll say first things first, none of this is financial advice, NFA. That's one of the huge terms. I mean, this entire world, this space, as we call it, is so vast. I've done my 10,000 hours and I will continue to exceed that because the amount of information in the space with NFTs and cryptocurrency is just moving at a rapid pace that Web 2 is not. It's just not, I've never seen anything like this before. It's absolutely crazy. Like the amount of time that I have aped into certain projects. And once again, I'm using a term aped, APED means literally like invest, you know, you joined an NFT, you know, you purchased an NFT. I'd say within the last month, shit, I'll be honest, maybe the last 2 weeks I've aped into five different projects. And that was just based off of like me doing research for maybe the past 6 or 7 months and just keeping my eye on different things and saying like, all right, when I get this bread, like I'm investing, I'm putting aside this specifically to invest in these projects that I just didn't have the money for at that time. So I did that, you know, got in on the ground floor, some really cool ones, but none of this is financial advice whatsoever, NFA. Okay. So there's certain terminology, there's words, there's slang, there's just a whole, there's different type of world and there's a learning curve. And I'll be very honest with you, man. I look at everything in terms of being early. Like I'm extremely cerebral when it comes to just saying that is interesting instead of saying no off top. So I look at a lot of people that have had success over time out of people may have said like it's out of nowhere or it happened overnight. It's just like, no, they were just really forward thinking in terms of providing a service and providing a value to people while majority of general population thinks of they think like a consumer as opposed to, you know, an owner, you know, or how can I provide a solution to a problem? So by altering that state of mind and that mindset, that's why I really look at doing things early, you know, from everything, whatever it may be, from technology to a book to cutting edge, whatever it may be, to food, you know, different things of that nature. It's important to stay ahead because you want to be able to adapt. I'd rather be proactive than being reactive. Like, for example, how many people do you think would be in a different position just from if they invested in Facebook or Instagram or Microsoft before, like, you know, before it went like public, you know what I'm saying? Like, like think about when it IPO'd, if you would have got in on the ground floor of those projects, like, you know, maybe spend $1,000, see whatever many shares that gets you. You'd be up. You'd be high right now.
Yeah.
So that is why I look at NFTs and cryptocurrency in terms of just diversifying and to be frank as well, just the state of the economy period too, from an inflation standpoint. We're just printing money, and I'm not saying we, because there are individuals in this country that are doing things that you and I may never know about, you know what I'm saying? And they make things go. So those individuals that run this country have the ability to just print money and print it and print it and print it and print it. And I'm like, yo, like, what's the value of it though? Even the US dollar compared to the exchange rate when you may go to different countries compared to, like, you know, the pound or the euro, like, it's significantly less. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's that, you know, it's that as well. So just looking at all of those different things, I think it's extremely important to diversify. And the main way to do that is to just basically be able to look at the entire landscape of life and just be able to see what people are doing. You know, what are people listening to? What are you wearing? What are you guys talking about? What are you reading? What are you liking on the internet? And why do you like it? You know, why did you wear that t-shirt or those sneakers today. Like, everything is about an expression, and it's about why you like to do what you do. And I think there's uniqueness in that, in bringing everybody together. And I really feel like NFTs have an extremely awesome way of doing that from a digital standpoint and physically, you know, in real life as well.
And man, there's a couple things that you said that I have to highlight there. The first one, and a lot of these, they have something to do with the financial aspect that we're talking about, but
of course,
majority of them don't. So like the first thing, I'll start backwards. You talked about trends and like being inquisitive over trends. Like, it's people it's people's like nature. When there's a trend, there's either one or two things. Either they hop on the trend without doing their research, or they shun the trend and completely walk away from it. Where I feel like something that you've done really well in the way that you think when it comes to this NFT thing is that instead of judging and taking a stance, you've really like looked into the habits of the people who are following this trend. Like, okay, why are they going towards this certain NFT? Why are they, you know, why is this NFT becoming a thing? Like, and I think it's just very powerful for people to understand that, like, if there's a trend or if there's something going on, don't just hop on it just to hop on. You really have to do your own research, because the decision that you make is going to affect you. That was one of the first things. The next thing was, and you said it, fail early and fail often. Like, if you can get in early, so I guess one, these next two things will kind of go together. Fail early, fail often, but at the same time, invest your time on the front end so you can reap it on the back end. You said you've been doing research on these projects. You've invested in the last 2 weeks on 5 projects. So what people tend to see is, oh, in the last 2 weeks, Jalan's just throwing bread at these NFT projects. Like, I need to do the same. But they don't understand that that's 5-6 months of research, time, talking to people, really understanding the ins and outs before you decided to make that investment. And it wasn't like you were dragging your feet on doing that research. Again, that mindset of fail early, fail often. You're like, yo, I need to learn as much as I can right now so I can get in, so I can, you know, reap my gains. And like those 3 points, invest your time on the front end so you can reap it on the back end. Fail early, fail often, and follow trends. Don't judge the trends one way or the other. I think for finances' sake, I think for me, this is my, like you said, this ain't financial advice. For me, I think those three principles, if you can use those three principles to leverage your financial vehicle, whatever financial vehicle you want to use to achieve your financial freedom, if you invest your time on the front end and research it, that 10,000-hour rule, and if you get in early, you know what I mean, and you follow the trends and see why people are reading, you know, going towards these trends, I think you can be successful in whatever investment strategy that you have, because there is no right or wrong. They're all vehicles. A BMW is a Lexus, is a Toyota, is a Chrysler. They're all cars. It's just a matter of which one you prefer to get you to where you need to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think this is a great segue to say as well, the fact that, yes, I definitely, you know, invested a decent amount of money into 5 different digital assets, but I look at it this way as well. To pull the trigger on that, you know, I studied what I bought my first NFT September 19th, 2021. But before that, I did not spend a single dollar for 6 to 7 months beforehand, just to make sure that I was competent and knew what I was doing.
So you had a little safety net, you had a little emergency fund underneath you.
Yeah. Before I spent a single dollar, I studied for 6 to 7 months. And even the story of that is absolutely hilarious to me. I think it's fascinating. And a lot of people just are like, I can't believe you did that. But I've always been into collectibles, from baseball cards, basketball cards, even college baseball, college football, college basketball, NFL, the MLB, Pokemon at a point in time, And I used to go to a spot in Harrisburg in Lower Paxton called JR's Dugout. And that was the spot where JR would just allow us to come in there and basically just talk shop about sports. The thing that I loved about sports from a sports cards, trading cards perspective was the, like, the artwork. Like, you get an action shot of, say, like, Michael Jordan or Muggsy Bogues or Dana Barros, and I'm showing my age by, like, you probably guys don't even know who Dana Barros is, but Robert Pack, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm old, guys, sorry, but Google those guys. Google those guys, you know what I'm
people
saying?
In Boston, people in Boston definitely know who Dana Barros is. He has a whole sports facility out here, so legend. people definitely know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that to say the fact that, like, okay, you get a cool action shot, but you flip that card over and you get to see the stats. Like, we in the basketball community, some of us are like freaks about, like, yo, we can name a season or a player and they had this. We can just spit it off the top of our heads. You know, it's just like we're walking mavens of infer, you know, of useless information about basketball. But that's what attracted me about collectibles. So I'll never forget, man, fast forward, like, and I've been collecting, that was what, probably I've been, you know, collecting since maybe 92, 93. So I've been doing this for a long time, just from a collectible standpoint. But fast forward, man, I'll never forget. This was like right before the sports card boom really took off. And I said, if I ever get into a dire position in life, I'm going to have to sell my sports cards. I'm going to have to sell, you know, see what they're worth and see what I can get. So I got to that point, man. And this guy at this card shop on Derry Street in Harrisburg told me, like, look, man, you have some awesome cards, but they're not worth anything. And I said, dude, I don't believe you. Like, nah. And that's when he started to explain, like, the wax era, you know, that which basically is when Topps and Fleer and Upper Deck, these sports cards companies, like the big, you know, big wigs, when the cards started, when they saw a surge in the market and how much money they were making, you know, return on investment, they just started mass producing cards and it just oversaturated the market. And there are a lot of duplicates, you know, and that really just like messed up the market for a period of time. So there's a lot of cards that were made in mass and a lot of people probably have those, you know, if you're a collector. So I was like, whatever, yo, like, I'm out of here. So I left, man. And I see my man on Instagram, one of my good friends, Lance. He was like, yo, I see him like flipping sports cards. Like, I start seeing these cards in these slabs and people are talking about getting them graded. And I was like, wait, what's going on here? So I asked him and he proceeded to just send me mass information about, you know, flipping baseball cards. And I did that, you know, I did that. I sold a couple of different ones that I had for my collection. You know, I made about between 5 to 7 grand, man. I was like, oh, like, this is dope. So I started doing that and I go back to him like maybe 2 months, like a month or two later. And I asked him, like, yo, Lance, can you give me a plug on the blaster box? And a blaster box is just like a huge package of, you know, it could be baseball, basketball, whatever, your fix is. So I asked for a blaster box of NBA rookie cards. And he was like, yo, man, like, I don't have the plug, but I'm actually off like physical, you know, collectibles. I'm in the NFTs now. And I was like, huh? I was like, what you mean? And he proceeded, man. Like, I shout out to Lance, bro. And I have to say shout out to Paul, too. Both of those guys, both from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, extremely integral into my interest and into just some of the small successes that I've had in the space, you know. So shout out to both of those guys. But, yeah, they Lance proceeded, you know, Deshaun, to send me – maybe like 7th videos about the basics of crypto and NFTs and blockchain and, you know, gas fees and DAOs, like all these fascinating things. And I was hooked. As soon as I like got my head around it, I probably spent maybe the first month or two, like probably an hour a day, just like, all right, consistently just taking down notes. And then it just got really like ridiculous to where it's like, all right, I'm doing 2 hours twice a day. Like I'm doing my evening and then I'm getting up at like 2 a.m. and I'm on it, you know, which is as well too. Like that's probably one of the like peak hours of the Spaceman, you know, where we're up at super, super early hours in the morning. So, but yeah, man, once I got a taste and I just started to wrap my head around the technology and how like, wow, you mean to tell me I can make a collection of digitized basketball players that wear my custom Handles From Home merch, and I can customize their rings and their jewelry and their skin and their sneakers and their eyes and the background. And hey, I can write a smart contract that basically says, all right, every 60 days that you hold this NFT, my guy's going to come alive and he's going to do a different ball handling move. And then I can do a physical event like a Handles like camp for everybody that is a hodler, you know, a unique hodler, somebody that holds that NFT for more than 60 days. And you know, we can do some financial literacy, give away some merch, do some training, you know, do some breath work, mental health, all those different things, eating clean, sustainability, like you see what I'm saying. So once I figured that out, and I just gave y'all some alpha, but once I figured that out, man, I was like, oh, you know, I had to pivot. So that's really, you know, long-winded, man. That's really when, you know, I had to pivot. And that's really why I've been quiet, to be honest with you, because I'm fascinated by this. And honestly, you know, not to be brash about it or anything, but I was right. I was right. Like, I'm glad that I listened to my homies and I was right. Cause everybody's talking about NFTs now. Everybody.
Yeah.
You know, Nike, night, like the big wigs and the, like everybody, duh, everybody.
Yeah, you got in right at the right time. You got in early.
Yeah.
Got in early. That 10,000 hour rule. You know, we definitely have to find time for another. I don't know how familiar you are about the metaverse, but lately I've been reading and finding articles and was about the metaverse and how that's going to totally change the way that we do things as American. But maybe we'll say that for another. We'll have to say that for another. I gotta do my 10,000 hours on that.
Well, I'll say this. I'll give you a tidbit of this and we can save that for another day. I'll say this. I'm super bullish. You know, I'm super, super bullish. Like that means I'm convinced, you know, I'm a believer, you know, I'm bullish on the fact that from my experience in the metaverse, if you will. So I was on Twitter, and I don't even just call it Twitter, like specifically this is NF Twitter to me, because we all know that on social media platforms, your timeline consists of the people that you follow. Mm-hmm. So that's the information that is going to come to you, you know? So I choose to utilize NF Twitter specifically for that. So my timeline consists of nothing but, you know, tech, digital art, digital assets, crypto, stocks, everything that has to do with just, you know, science, technology, art, engineering, mathematics, all those different things. Like, it's just education. So I came across this one day and it was a QR code from a museum. And I was like, they're like, hey, click this and you can go to our virtual gallery in Crypto Voxels, which is one of the many, you know, metaverses that there are, from, you know, the Sandlot to NFT worlds for gaming. Keep an eye on that. That's not financial advice, but all these different plots of land, you know, parcels as they're called, that you can purchase, you know, a plot of land, you know, digital real estate. I was like, yo, this is amazing. Like, this is crazy. So I click, like, I scan the QR code on my phone, and like, it's crazy, Deshaun. Like, I'm literally floating like seven different levels. So they have seven stories, and it's just filled with different artists from art, man. And you have the ability to click on the art, and it tells you about the artist, and it has a link to their social media profile and how much you can purchase that digital art for and where you can get it from, and showing their portfolio, like their background. And I was like, yo, I love frequenting museums, period. I am just doing this in the comfort of my own home. Like, I'm walking around my apartment, dude, just like floating, like looking at art. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So that was my experience in real time. And once I had encountered that and just doing the research from like, oh, you can do events, like we're already doing it on Zoom anyway, so why wouldn't we take it to the next frontier to, like, you know, do some type of event or have some type of place where we congregate digitally? I mean, people already do it when you play video games. Y'all do it when y'all play Fortnite and Call of Duty and all that. Y'all on 2K. Y'all going to the park. Yo, y'all in the metaverse. Y'all already doing it, but y'all not. Y'all don't have headsets yet. That's all. Y'all already doing it. So we're heading that way, you know. So that's how I look at it. But, you know, we can talk about, you know, Meta and all those different things at another time.
So somebody wanted to tap in with you. Maybe they wanted to purchase your course, you know, to learn more about NFTs and how to get started. How do they get in touch with you?
All right. So I want to clarify, and I'll keep it a bean. So there's two things. Number one, actually, I'll say three. So there's three things that I do. Number one, I do onboarding, and onboarding is literally the meat and potatoes of being able to understand the systems that you need in place, from your crypto wallet to your MetaMask to your Coinbase account, to setting up, you know, tying that information to your bank account so you have the ability to take fiat currency, the US dollar, and invest into cryptocurrency. And the actual process of purchasing your first NFT, doing the research, like, I give you everything in terms of the very basics, the minimal information with onboarding. And then, like, I basically did a beta. So I did a course where, you know, it's called WTF is an NFT. So I created a course outline that takes it a little bit further and more in depth from that process. So now that you have your Coinbase account and your crypto wallet and your MetaMask set up and you're protected and you have your seed phrase and you wrote it down and you didn't screenshot it, and you put that information on your computer as well, because you just don't want to have digital assets stored on your phone, and you get a ledger. Like, I'm giving y'all alpha, you know what I'm saying? Like, alpha is basically the game. I'm telling y'all what it is, just to give you guys a sneak peek. But I do that as well, but I did that in a beta form, in the form of a course, and I just sent it out to different people that I knew. And it's absolutely fascinating to see the response, because this information, guys, is not for the weak-hearted. As you can see, you have to really take personal accountability to get it, to apply, right? And if and it's, it can be very dense. I'll be honest with you, it can be very dense. So it's been interesting to see what I probably sent it out to 12 different people, and I'd say maybe three or four have actually gone through it, and they're thriving, you know, compared to the other 8-9 people that just haven't been able to commit wholeheartedly in terms of just really making time, you know, to learn. So I'll say that about the material itself. But if you guys want to contact me, just hit me up on Instagram. All right. My Instagram is Jalon. That's JALON underscore teaches, TEACHES. Just send me a DM, and we can, you know, we can have a conversation and go from there if you're interested in onboarding or just learning more about the space. But that course though, Deshaun, the outline that I sent you as well, I'm not sure if you went through it yet, but we'll get to that. I'm literally in talks. I'll give you guys that one as well. I'm about There's two places that I have it narrowed down to. It's just I may do it at both of these places because I just want to give back to my community. But I'm definitely doing an NFT course in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for sure. And that will pop off, I'd say, what is it, March? I'd say definitely second, third week of April. We'll be hitting the ground running. We'll have a class once a week for a month or two. Everything will be, you know, in a progressive style learning manner. You'll be able to take all the pre-recorded content home. It's going to be very fun. Days teaching people how to create NFTs and, you know, build their collections. And yeah, man, it's just really being able to teach, I like to say, our people, because we're so behind. You know what I'm saying? We're extremely behind. And it's going to continue to be that way if we do not mobilize, organize, and take action as a collective. And this is one of the very unique and special ways that you know, I want to do my part. So, yeah, man, hit me up on Instagram, guys. That's where I'm at. I'm not going to give you my email or anything of that nature, but just hop in my DMs. Just hit me up. I'm mad regular, and that's where we can take it.
He said, "I'm human. I'm human."
Yeah, you know me, bro. We link, bro. How many times now? You know me, man.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be in Harrisburg too in April too for 2 days. So
Bet. There
maybe I
you
could
go.
pop for that the NFT course. But we'll talk offline about that another
Bet.
convo. But man, Jamal, I appreciate you dropping some knowledge, spitting some facts for the people, man. And hopefully we'll hop on another one soon.
Absolutely, my guy.
All right, man. Bless. Peace.
Later.
Yo, thank you for listening to the Beast Podcast. We hope that you learned something and are empowered and inspired to be a better version of yourself. Please go ahead and subscribe, like, share it with a friend, a family member, or anybody who can get some value from it. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. All right, y'all. Be great.